First Timothy, if you would turn to First Timothy. In our Bible study on Wednesday nights, we've been going through the book of Nehemiah. And we got to chapter 8, finally. And some said we could have got through there much quicker, much easier if we skipped a few of those chapters. 3 and 7 generally are rough chapters in Nehemiah. But in Nehemiah, they got to a point where they'd rebuilt the walls. And don't think, did he say 1 Timothy or Nehemiah? We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, but I'm just referencing Nehemiah. And they brought out the book of the law. And they said, Ezra, chief scribe and priest, would you please read this to us? And they stood for hours. They guess about 6 hours they stood and listened to the reading of the Word of God. The book of the law of Moses. So in 1 Timothy, it says in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by commandment of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. To Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this is a letter that Timothy is receiving from Paul. And it says in verse 3, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. So we've gone all the way from Nehemiah in the Old Testament, and they're standing there reading the book of the law of Moses. Many brought to their knees and said they were crying and they were to feast. And he said, there's no need to cry, for this is a joyful occasion. But because of their knowledge of their past and what they had done in hearing the law, they were convicted and brought to tears. So now Paul is teaching Timothy, saying, hey, I've sent you here. We've set up this church. However, got some stuff going on there. No other doctrine. Make sure they're not teaching anything else. And it's so important, as we talked about Wednesday night during Bible study, that we read the Word of God, that we understand the Word of God, that we teach other people the Word of God, that we know the Word of God. It's real hard when people are preaching and teaching if they're going outside of this, if you don't know it, if you're not familiar with it. Now they're hearing things about genealogies and different family trees and all this stuff and different ways it used to be and different ways that it should be. And they were kind of putting their own spin on that. It says everything should be for godly edification. And in verse 5 it says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, having turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So some people were after it. I don't know, back then they wore certain outfits. Maybe they wanted that outfit to wear. Maybe they wanted the fancy hat. I don't know. But they were doing it for reasons other than godly edification. Now I want to stop here for a minute and tell you a quick story. There was an older lady, and by older, I mean she was just older, in her 80s, early 80s, late 70s. And she had had a different teaching other than sound doctrine. And she carried this heavy burden and this heavy weight around for years and years and years. I'm talking 40, 50 years. Now there's a religious scholar over here who knows the Bible inside and out, inside and out, inside and out. And he says, there's a pastor over here who knows the Bible and he knows the message of the Bible, which is love. God's love and God's forgiveness from a pure heart, it also says here. However, the scholar over on this side said, you know what? What you're teaching isn't right. It's not good. It doesn't help people. It's not right. You just candy coat the gospel and make it all about good stuff. Which is kind of funny as you read ahead in 1 Timothy, it talks about God's justice on the unrighteous. And then right after it says, now teach them the good news of the gospel. It goes hand in hand. You see, in my house, and hopefully many of your houses, there's discipline, and that's all done in love and with love in mind. God's Word says discipline starts in the church, and it says we discipline those that we love. So the scholar says, hey, you can't help anybody. You're just candy coating everything, making it seem all nice and cheesy easy. It's too simple. It's just too simple. Now I'm sure the preacher over here says, I don't worry about that. I don't listen to that stuff. Now in the middle is this older lady that's carried around this baggage for 40 or 50 years. And she said, man, I heard the word that he preached and taught. And it talked about the simple forgiveness of sins. And it talked about forgiveness that she could ask and that she could also receive. And it talked about a simple love that God had for each and every one of us to love one another and care about one another no matter what. And after carrying this weight around for 40 or 50 years, she set that weight down. She doesn't have to carry it anymore. Which one of these religious people was right? I don't know. He knew the law. But was it legalism and all that stuff that he was more concerned about? Rather than reconciliation, healing, that this pastor was concerned about. Linda, I'm with you. I'm with this guy right here. Because through that message, she received freedom. I don't know that she would have received anything from that message. Now, the sad thing is, this is a true story. This is a guy that's on the radio that talks all the time. And this guy is a guy that's on TV. Biggest church out there, Joel Osteen. And a lot of people say, man, he's just making this too simple, too easy. I don't care what your thoughts are on Joel Osteen or this guy that knows the law inside and out and is legalistic. But this guy freed a lady from carrying a weight around for a long time. This guy preached the love of Christ. And I think God or Jesus walked around doing the same thing, preaching love. Man, you need to forgive them. You need to love them. You need to care about them. And in the middle of that was another pastor that came in and stepped in and tried to help. Say, man, I think these people just want some reconciliation. And they're really just trying to make up for lost time. But he was dismissed. And this pastor back here was me. You see, the stories of my aunt, who came from a legalistic background, but heard the simple message of Joel Osteen, and asked her family, which she doesn't speak to anymore, to forgive her. She first started out saying, I will forgive them. And somebody had to remind her, this isn't about you. This is about you asking for forgiveness. I had the unfortunate experience of meeting her at my mother's house when she was trying to meet with her family, and it blew up as I stood there going, what in the world is going on here? And she asked for my forgiveness as well, because she said, you simply were trying to reconcile us. And you told me They're just trying to reconcile the past, but I wouldn't receive it. This was about a month and a half, 2 months ago at the most. My point to all this, when we get into doctrine, and I had her permission to tell that story, by the way, as we get into sound doctrine, this guy knew it, this guy knows it, but what they added and what they left out were two different things. But through this guy came healing and reconciliation in a family that needed it years ago. You see, she couldn't let go of the past. She could not let it go. And some of you are hanging on to that past like this. And you're trying desperately to let go. Remember back when we were younger and they said, take your two fingers and do this, hold it for 2 minutes. You did it and you like open your hand and you're like, I can't do it. It's the same thing. Try it. Try it while you're sitting there. Just do that if you're bored. Okay? Just squeeze as tight as you can. 2 minutes. And then when you slide those fingers out and open your hand, they're just kind of paralyzed there. It's the same thing. I see some of you trying that. Yeah. In 2 minutes, let's see how it works out for you. And it's the same thing with our baggage that we carry. In a minute and a half, I'm going to see people going. We've held on to it so long. When we try and release it, we just can't. We come to the altar and we do this, but we just can't let go. And some of you are carrying that same baggage. You want desperately to let it go, but you can't. My aunt carried that for 40 or 50 years and couldn't let go of it because she was legalistic in the Bible. She got caught up in other aspects of it that said this, but she forgot the part of mercy and love and forgiveness. Verse 5 talks about that simple purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. And then verse 6 says, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law. The idle talk, you know what that is? That's gossip, rumors, speculation. Man, just go to the source if you want to know. I really didn't want to go here, but I'm going to go here. Facebook people. First of all, quit taking pictures of yourself in the bathroom. Okay? I don't know why you do that, but don't. It's crazy to look at. Facebook. Oh my gosh. Thank you. And for clarification, I don't have a Facebook page. For clarification, in case you looked me up and said, uh-oh, that's our pastor. There's someone that is using my name, my place of employment, but has something else. Great, I shouldn't have told you that because you're all going to go look and see what he's doing. Dang it. Okay, but anyway, it's not me. I don't even know how to get on Facebook. Facebook people, my gosh, why we carry out our family or personal garbage on Facebook for all to see is beyond me. It is beyond me why we carry out our family or personal garbage on Facebook. You young people sitting back there. Not you, Tim. You're not late 70s or 80s, but you're one of the older ones. And some of our young people out here and over here, I'm so proud of some of the things you put on Facebook. Talking about how good God is. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, Brian, I saw your post. I don't get on Facebook, but I saw it. And you're talking about the goodness of God. And you guys were talking about how exciting Falls Creek was. And you're talking about your Bible study tonight with Andrew and Chelsea. That's what I'm talking about. Gina, some of your families posted some things about messages they heard that helped them from God or from church or whatever. That's what I'm talking about. You see, when you put it on Facebook and people see it, it's the same as telling them. You can't erase that. You can't take it away. That's idle talk, people. That's idle talk. And I don't have a Facebook, number one, because I can't figure out how to do it. But anyway, aside from that, I probably would say what I think, and that isn't good either. That just wouldn't be good for your pastor to do that. Gossip and speculation is idle talk. We need to get away from that. Amen? I'm going to get way behind here, and I'm not on a time frame because I believe that God is working in this place right now. I believe that God is working in these people right now. I know God's working in our young people right now and our leaders. And I'm so excited about that. Let's flip over to 1 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. It's a pretty big list, amen? That's a huge list, and most of us probably fall in there somewhere, and anything else that isn't of sound doctrine. A lot of times it's on Sunday morning. I remember Cindy just telling a story the other day about when we first started coming to church. Man, we couldn't come in one car. It just wasn't happening. I don't know why, but the devil was right in the middle. We're returning to church, or I'm returning to church after a long, many-year absence from church. But the devil was right there sitting, riding shotgun with me. Couldn't come in the same car. That devil was there driving a wedge between us, trying to get to church to serve God. The devil does that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll get in the middle of all that. Verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, or blasphemer if you prefer, a persecutor and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Have you ever done anything in ignorance because you didn't know better? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I'm guessing we all have. If I asked for a show of hands, we'd get a big fanning section of everyone raising their hands up here. But I think the worst thing is when we do things not in ignorance, but in full knowledge. And we know it's wrong. That's what we call a sinner. That's what we call most churchgoers. They do things they don't want to do sometimes. And immediately in this day and age, we think, oh, pornography, sex, whatever. And there's a whole slew of things. We just talked about gossip, lying, stretching the truth, exaggerating. Those words sound a little prettier than lying. I just exaggerated. That made it sound like you had this great imagination. There's a whole list of things. The glorious gospel. I love that phrase. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. You see, he knew about our human sinfulness, our human nature. He knows about our need for the good news. Maybe you're here today and you say, what is that good news, Adam? Well, it's Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ died for you, and the sins that you commit in ignorance and in full knowledge, both. And he saved us from bondage to the law, and he saved us from bondage to our own sins. Who tried that? Whose hands were stuck? Were your hands stuck? Your fingers stuck? Yeah. I know you were trying it. Anyone? It's the same thing, Anna. Yeah, I know. It's the same thing, guys. We're still in bondage to our own sins because we won't or can't let go. We've held on so tight. So tight. No matter what we do, we just can't seem to release it. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer. Man, just how powerful is that they are free. He was freed from that. He knew what he did. Now he says, I did it in ignorance. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ has mercy for our ignorance and our knowledge when we do things wrong? I know I am. I know I am. Flip over real quick to chapter 6, if you would, in 1 Timothy. And as you're flipping over to chapter 6, he goes on in chapter 1, and he talks about our belief in Jesus Christ. I want to make sure everyone fully understands this that's here today. There's one thing we need for salvation, and it's pretty simple. It's simply a belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Bible mentions over 100 times what it takes for our salvation. And it's simply belief in Him as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe in Him. We call on His name. Now there are other things that Jesus comes afterwards and says. And others come after and say, when you believe, be baptized. Again, we'd love to talk to you about baptism. This year alone, more baptisms than the last 8 years. At Prayer of Faith. We're excited about that and love that. Chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with holiness or godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. I'm not going to get in a battle over words with people. It's a waste of time. When you know the truth, that's where you'll stand up and fight, but you'll just fight to believe that truth. You don't have to fight with people over whether it's true or not. Oh, we want to share what we believe, but once it becomes just argumentative, it's time to walk away. From such, withdraw yourself. The Bible gives us a few instances where we are to withdraw ourselves from certain people. As the eagle, withdraw yourselves from those chickens around the hen house that don't fly. As a bug in a jar with a lid on it, withdraw yourself from those bugs that don't want to keep trying to get over the top even when the lid is removed. And I hope nobody's here like this, but man, if there's parents out here, please don't ever tell your kids you can't do that. You'll never do that. Now, let me clarify. Don't touch the hot stove. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about their abilities to get something done. Not their personal safety. Don't touch that. Maybe your parents told you that. You can shake that. That's why we have people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s graduating college. Because they knew they could and wanted to. And if they didn't want to show anyone else but themselves, so be it. There are times which there are situations where we have to withdraw ourselves from those that hold us down. Now it says in chapter 6, verse 6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. We have to be so careful what we're searching and what we're moving towards and looking for. I know how many chairs we have in this place. I don't know how many are empty, but that's a lot of room for us to invite some friends, some family members. Encourage those people. Well, Sunday's my day to sleep in. It's my only day off. I get that. Say, this is my day off usually, but it's not. Come enjoy the fellowship with other believers. And then when other believers come in, let's lift them up. Let's try not to be a weight around their ankle to drag them down. Amen. It's so hard sometimes, but every now and then we need to talk to people and do that. We're going to have an opportunity here just to let God talk to us. And I just ask that you guys be patient. But God's Word tells us we have to ask for forgiveness. We have to give forgiveness. But I think our biggest problem is we don't want to repent. And bottom line is you can repent in your chair if you want. But what I'm asking you for is just come bow down over on the stairs here. Bow down here, wherever you want. Stand up here. You see, it's when you come in that boldness that you're truly submitting to God. I told our Bible study group, test your speed on the highway sometime. I believe that's a great indicator of where your life is spiritually. If you speed everywhere you go and you cannot obey the law, you probably are a little distant from God in that. I'm not talking about the racetrack. But on the highway, where there's a limit and there's a law, I truly believe how you view that is probably how you view your relationship with Christ. Oh, it's okay. They mean everyone else but me. You see, I'm in a hurry. See, God, I know there's a speed limit here, but I've just got to do this. I've just got to get here or there on my own. And I believe it's that place where we skip repentance. I believe repentance lies in a line up here, and for some reason we just can't seem to put our pride aside and say, man, I need to repent. Austin, can we bring the lights down just a little bit? Some people feel intimidated with bright lights. Some people think it's too dark. We're just going to give the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come at this time. If the band will come up. And they're just going to sing a little song in the background. It's not for you guys to sing along unless you know it and want to. This is just the time for you and God. And I believe that God is calling this church body, and I don't believe anyone's here by mistake today. I believe God is calling this body to a higher level. And He's doing that by asking you to acknowledge your own sin, ask for forgiveness, give forgiveness, share love, repent, and just make a new relationship with Jesus Christ today. Again, you don't have to come up here, but I'm asking as a step of faith that you would come up here just in your privacy. If you want someone to pray for you where you sit or up here, would you just raise your hand when you're there and we'll send somebody around to pray over you and for you. And it may be that our prayer partners or whatever, you guys may need prayer or forgiveness. And I don't care if your eyes are open or closed. I don't care if your head is up or down, but we're just going to take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to fill this place and allow the Holy Spirit to work. And I hope change your heart today. Ask you to fill this place today, Lord. God, I just ask you to touch these people today where they sit. Lord, sometimes it's just that grip that's had them so long. I know there's people in this church that need healing. I know there's people in this church that need a changed relationship with you. God, I don't know what fears they have. God, would you take that fear away right now? Remove that from them so they can come forward. We just get so scared to come up in front of our family, our church family. Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with John today. John Baumsberger lost his brother this week. Lord, we just speak healing over that family. We speak peace and comfort over that family as they deal with the loss of his brother. Father, lift that family up right now. Lord, we rejoice in the fact that he's made whole now. He is complete. He is healed. He is free of any suffering he had here on this earth, Lord. We know that he is in your presence right now, Heavenly Father. We rejoice in that. And we give you glory and honor and praise today. If you need prayer where you sit, would you just raise your hand so we can come behind you and pray over you? If you need prayer wherever you sit, I just don't want to miss an opportunity to pray over somebody. Amen. Holy Spirit, come. Come and change this church body little by little. Lord, our young people came and prayed over us in the adult Bible study a week and a half ago. And they prayed for a prayer of faith to step up, this being a new year, a changed year for us, Lord. We ask You to change us from the inside out. Lord, we ask for You to give us patience as we're ready to leave. Just give us patience to minister to others outside of ourselves. Lord, when the music is different, when the music is loud, can You imagine what it was like when thousands gave their life to Jesus Christ in the New Testament recording of that? What that must have been like. Lord, today we just come with a simple message of love. Help us share that message of love and forgiveness, grace and mercy to those we come in contact with. Father, allow us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with this week. Help guide and direct our paths, our words that we speak to one another, and our actions towards one another. May they glorify You. May they bring You honor today. In the name of Jesus, amen.